In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hatch.
I'm recording now. So, yes, William, why are you... No, wait, let's not do that. First, we have to introduce ourselves. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast, the only one that has secretly replaced one of its co-hosts with a monosyllabic Frenchman. I'm Tony.
Et je m'appelle Guillaume.
That was way too many syllables. And this is episode 39.
Well, he had me on the spot.
I looked it up before you came because I had a lot of time to kill because William is late. Because William once again saw somebody that he went to prison with and gave them a lift or something like that.
I didn't
that.
Go to prison.
What happened? What's going on? I was worried you didn't know what time it was, which seems weird, but hey.
No, I just got a late start, mostly because I haven't been feeling well, and so I had to make sure I was rested up.
Me neither. I was sick yesterday. By the way, you may hear some background noises. I'm eating my supper.
So I... Around 5:30, I realized, oh, wait, it's 5:30. And I got up and I hadn't eaten anything, so I figured, well, I better eat something. And one thing led to another, and that's why I'm late.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry, everyone.
Not even a good story.
I know everybody was waiting. I know. It's not as good as my other story, which wasn't even good. What am I talking about?
You want to explain why I said we replaced you with a monosyllabic Frenchman?
No. I don't even know why you said that.
Because for some reason... All week when I send you emails, The only response I get is, boom. I say, hey, William, here's the da-da-da-da-da-da. Reply back, boom. Every time.
Well, it just seemed like the right thing to say. Actually, right, you're not the only one. Lots of people have been sending me things, and it'll be like, you know, they'll be telling me what's going to happen, and, you know. What should I say? Oh, yeah, that sounds like a good idea, or okay, or roger that, or whatever.
Well,
the three letters, bon.
This here is Merca. And in Merca, we speaks English. What? The producer is throwing me the top of a bell pepper.
Yeah, I see that.
The producer is in the process of making some soup that we're going to eat a different time. Are you canning it?
Eventually.
She's canning it eventually. But you know what I'm eating here? You know what I'm eating?
I don't know.
It's the black bean stew.
Oh.
You remember the black bean stew?
Yeah, I do. I could have been here earlier if I'd known I could just eat stew with you.
Well, we didn't really know what we were going to make.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, because I only got this eventually when I'm like, well, I don't know where the hell he is, but I'm hungry.
So we're basically in the same boat. But because you live where the microphone is, you're not late. And because I don't, I'm late.
No, I was going to skip dinner and eat it later.
Oh, and then I was late.
And so the producer's like, you want me to bring you some? I'm like, might as well.
Yeah, because William's not here.
This stuff is killer, though. And it's ridiculously easy to make.
And it looks pretty easy to eat, too.
You've eaten a lot.
Yeah, I've had it a few times. And it's quite good. I do recommend it. You should put the recipe on the blog, I guess.
It's too simple for that. I'm going to explain it to you people.
He's going to explain it, Lucy.
This is a recipe for a black bean stew. Very healthy. Very easy to make it vegan, in fact.
If you care about that kind of thing.
Not the way you're about to describe it.
We just replaced the chicken broth with vegetable broth. I know that. I know that chicken broth come from a chicken. That's why we named it that. Anyway. First thing. Take an onion. Chop it up. Saute it in a big cooking pan.
A large onion or a medium-sized
onion? Medium-sized onion is fine. Once it's got, you know, kind of clear and sautéed and stuff.
But not brown.
No.
Clear.
No. Yeah. Put in approximately 1/3 cup of what is called Israeli couscous, also known as toasted couscous.
Okay.
It's like normal couscous. It's a little bit bigger. You can usually get it in your local Whole Foods knockoff or the hippie aisle in your store. but anyway, toasted couscous, Israeli couscous, either way, is the same thing. You take about 1/3 of a cup of that, put that in the bottom while you still got the heat going, and you just stir it around. You want to brown it a little bit.
Okay.
Do that until it's all a little bit toasted. And then you dump in a can of black beans that have been drained because the producer hates the bean juice. A can of crushed tomatoes. A can of... We use chicken broth, but if you're freaky like William, you use vegetable broth. And then you take... You can get this as a sort too. A can of what's called chipotle and adobo sauce. And you buy that and you use a little bit of that, like 1 or 2 chilies. What the producer did is like blended the whole can and now it's in a Tupperware in our fridge, and so we just take it out and use, like, you know, a teaspoon, 2 teaspoons.
I see.
And you put it all in there, bring it to a boil, cook it for 5 minutes so that the couscous can get soft. You're done. Eat it. It's really good. It's really simple. It's pretty cheap, and it's the healthiest thing I eat by a long shot.
You're supposed to serve it with sour cream and green onion.
Yeah, you're supposed to serve it with sour cream and green onion, like, for garnish and stuff. Which is what we used to do when we were, like, having people over for it and things. Mm-hmm. Usually we just eat it now. It's good.
Yep, it's very good.
Okay, so other than late, how are you, William?
I'm getting better. I'm not sure. It's not a... I don't even know what the issue is. It's like... I suppose it's like a sinus problem because I've got a tension headache from sinus... Whatever.
Yeah, that's what I've been having.
But when that happens to me, it aggravates my motion sickness.
Oh, so, that must suck.
So that's the hard part. If it was just a headache or a runny nose or something, it wouldn't be a big deal. But I get dizzy, and I, like, if I move just a little bit or walk across the room.
Or drive.
Yeah, well, exactly. But so if I have to sit, still, and I can't put my head on anything because usually that'll press on a part of my head where my sinuses are. So I have to sit still, you know, close my eyes. Hopefully there's no noise and just sort of let it, you know, go away.
You have 2 teenagers in your house. That don't work.
Exactly. It doesn't work at all. So I usually end up going ahead and laying down anyway, even though that just makes my head hurt more. But at least I'm not nauseated, and I just hope that I'll fall asleep, you know, within a reasonable period of time.
Lay down in a... shallow dish of lidocaine, or better yet, ether, if you've got it.
Well, if I take a decongestant early enough, I'm fine. But we've run out, so I just have to do it.
I got some Benadryl here I can give you.
No, that's okay. I feel all right right now. But
you look like hell.
I know.
It's but like that. No different than usual. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, usual. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
Yeah.
I misunderstood.
Yeah. Are you getting in the holiday spirit?
Yeah, well, you know, our Christmas tree is up, and it's been up for a while. And
we still got the witch on the door.
I know.
I'm kind of proud about that. yeah, the producer's not happy about that. But
you know, it's been a while. You know, most of my associations, like my family and extended family and so on, a long time ago kind of stopped buying gifts for one another. Kind of stopped being about that. So, you know, I haven't really done Christmas shopping, any serious Christmas shopping for years. So that's like, and when you do it for so long and Christmas comes along and you're not really doing all that shopping, it's kind of like you don't see all the decorations, you don't hear all the music, you don't see all the people and the whatever.
It's very different, yeah.
It almost takes away from it a little bit. I know people talk about how over-commercialized Christmas has become, but it is sort of part of the experience to go find that special thing for somebody.
Well, but see, I tend to cheat anyway because I buy it all online.
Well, that's another thing. Even before we kind of stopped buying for each other, I started buying just about everything online anyway. So
certain of my siblings opted to not do it anymore, and they said, "What do you think about this?" And I told them I think you should not feel obligated to get me a present, and I will get you a present if I feel like it. Because really, that's what I think. I hate presents as obligations.
Well, yeah, and actually, once in a while, someone gets something, and, yeah. and we try not to make a big deal out of it.
But pretty much all the rest of my family, we still do presents.
No, well, that's
nice. I mean, we ship them and stuff, and I'm notoriously late getting them there. But yeah, we still do stuff. We're working on that. I don't think the producer has created a spreadsheet yet, but she did have a list today that she sent me that we're going through.
So. That's very efficient.
She is nothing if not efficient.
I have been listening to a lot of Christmas music, which is...
I can't get away from it. Almost all of my preset radio stations are on permanent Christmas music for now, which
well,
drives
I don't,
me crazy.
I don't listen to the radio when I drive, and it occurred to me that, like a few years ago, that since I wasn't really shopping and hearing it in the stores anymore... Uh-huh. That I'd gone a few years without really hearing very much Christmas music before Christmas. And I thought, well, maybe that's part of what is making it not seem very much like Christmas, so I'm listening to more Christmas music. It's not snowing here, either.
No, we've had some dustings, but...
Which I don't like. It's snow really makes it for me. If it doesn't snow, I'm going to be very sad. You don't like snow, though, huh?
I like it, but not enough to actually want it to be here. I like to look at it.
Yeah, I like it to snow. I like to shovel it. I do. I'd rather shovel a driveway than mow a lawn.
It's tricky because, like, last year, right, like, before Christmas, I don't know if I'd eaten something really bad or whatever. It was, I was feeling kind of sick. And then I was visited by three spirits.
Really?
That were trying to teach me some sort of lesson, but I don't know what it was, because, like I said, I was feeling sick, so I didn't pay a lot of attention.
Well, maybe you saw the spirits because, you know, because these things, they can just be a little undigested
bit
piece
of
meat.
Potato, and there was more of gravy about it.
Than grave,
yeah. But, so, whatever they were doing, I don't understand, and I'm still kind of sick of this stuff, so.
You hadn't taken any recreational drugs or anything before.
No, which is too bad, because usually that gets me in the Christmas spirit, you know, like... So maybe I should have. Do you ever see the American Christmas Carol?
The American?
Yeah, one... You know, there have been like a billion versions of the Christmas Carol
of
films.
Dickens.
Yeah. There's a film called An American Christmas Carol.
Set in the United States
or
something?
Yes, but like... It's like Little House on the Prairie time.
Oh, it's Christmas period, Carol. But in the United States.
Yes. Huh. Here's the two things you need to know about it. One, Ebenezer Scrooge is played by Henry the Fonz Winkler.
Hmm.
And two, the Ghost of Christmas Future does not have a cloak, but is in fact a very tall, very black man with an afro, a disco leisure suit, and gold chains.
Huh.
And he is heralded by the big honking radio in the corner, suddenly playing strange disco music that Ebenezer has never heard before.
Okay. When did they make this?
I don't know. I just remember seeing it on TV when I was younger.
Huh. When you were younger?
Yeah. I mean, well, not younger, but yeah. This... They probably made it in the 80s, is what I'm saying.
But Henry Winkler wouldn't have looked nearly... I mean, was he a younger version of Ebenezer or something?
No, they did stuff to him.
Oh, I see, because there are younger versions of him in the story, so...
Yeah.
I see.
That's all I remember, but I really think that's all you need to know about that particular...
Well, the two things you told me about it to begin with was all I needed to know.
What's your favorite film version?
Well, yeah, that's hard to say, because actually we just watched... The animated Jim Carrey version.
Yeah, I saw somebody posted that it wasn't that bad.
No,
which
it was
terrifying.
It was actually pretty good.
Ugh.
It was actually pretty good. There, it got a little weird at one part because, you know, I've actually read.
I'm not surprised.
The story recently.
Also not surprised.
Because I was trying to write a treatment for a kind of a modern take on it where the problem, Scrooge's problem wasn't. Greed, but narcissism, and Scrooge. The character of Scrooge is—that's not his name. He's a rock and roll star, and the band is called Ebenezer. Well, anyway, I'll have to show it to you sometime. I thought it turned out pretty well, but anyway, So having read it recently and even kind of studied it so I could write this treatment, you know, watching any version of it, I'm going to think, oh, they left this part out or they changed that part.
Yeah.
And one thing I was impressed with the animated film was it seemed fairly true to the story almost all the way throughout. Added some action sequences and stuff, you know, to make it interesting. And the part of the story where the Ghost of Christmas Future shows up is really short. And so in the animated feature, they threw in a sequence to lengthen it quite a bit.
Yeah.
And that changed the story quite a bit in that place, and that was a little weird. But otherwise, it was actually pretty good. And the animation looked actually pretty good to me.
Okay. Creepy Jim Carrey CGI version aside, what's your favorite film version? Let's go live action even. I don't want to do no Scrooge McDuck thing here. Live action film of...
Well, I can see it in my head. It's the one that was just always on when I was a kid, and it's probably just for sentimental reasons.
Did they sing? Were there songs?
Yeah, I think so.
That's probably the Albert Finney version.
Okay, probably.
Which was originally a stage play, which I performed in sixth grade, in which I played Bob Cratchit.
Oh, that's cool. But I don't remember there being a lot of singing, just in a couple places.
Oh, no, this had I Hate People and Thank You Very Much.
Oh, no.
That's the Albert Finney version.
Okay, that's not the one.
Then there's the George C. Scott version.
No, not George C. No, not that one. That was all right, but that's not
that's
the one.
That's the feud in my family.
Between those two.
And in fact, this Christmas, we watched both back to back.
Wow.
Like 4 hours of Scrooge.
But we don't have any... In our house, the only version of A Christmas Carol we have is the Bill Murray Scrooged version.
Oh.
Which the kids really like. But it's okay. But. But yeah, I was really impressed with the one we saw, so it's hard to... No, I don't... The one that we always saw on television wasn't either of those. It was...
Henry Winkler hanging out with the disco man.
No. I don't remember. There was some... No, maybe when I'm thinking of the music in it, I'm just thinking of that part where...
There are bits where there is music.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of, probably.
Like built into the story.
Right. So, I don't know. I guess I don't know what my favorite one is. And Doctor Who did a good sort of Scrooge type of story. Did you know that?
Last year's Christmas
special. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
It was really good, I thought.
It was... I liked it. It was one of those that played so fast and loose that I started being like, but this doesn't quite make sense. Which, I mean, it's Doctor Who, so it does that.
Yeah.
But there were a couple places in it where I'm just like, I don't know if this works. But in general, it was very entertaining and interesting.
Yes.
So, yes.
I liked it quite a bit, actually.
And a neat idea. I thought you meant this year's, which isn't out yet. And I was
what
happened?
No, the last year's was... That was based on the Christmas Carol kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was... it's a cool story. I mean, I don't catch it every year on television or whatever, but like I said, recently I've taken quite an interest in it, so I'm kind of interested in seeing various versions now to compare it to what I put together for my idea, which I'll probably never
get. Which is a spec script for an episode of Grimm, special Christmas episode.
No, it would have to be a film, like a feature-length film, the way I wrote it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And it would be really fun to do.
Is it a sequel to something? Because otherwise, we'd... No.
No, no.
Then we can't make it. I'm sorry. We're only in the business for sequels.
Anyway, so that's that.
Speaking of sequels, picked up Dungeon Siege 3 last night, video game.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yes, so, we did.
Because you asked me about it, and I told you all we'd played was the demo. And
yeah, we got the Xbox 360 version, because that's all they had available.
Oh, I see. Well, I mean...
It's pretty fun so far.
Oh, is it? Well, now, see, in the demo, there's certain characters you can't play.
Well, there's only 4 characters total.
Well, I know, but there's only 2 you can play in the demo.
Oh, okay.
So, like, the one character that has guns or whatever,
you
can't even play her.
Okay.
So, I figured that might add another dimension to it if you can play her.
Potentially. And what happens, I think, when you... This is, for those not familiar, it's a standard... dungeon crawl kind of video game where you just go in and you know, you kill things and there's a story, but mostly you just kill things and get loot and get better till the end. And the producer and I really like these because they frequently have cooperative modes and we play together and it's fun.
Right.
And this one does. And I was a little bit worried because the way they made it look, they made it really kind of look like it's a single-player game, but you just bring somebody along, which is kind of true. As the producer's playing the main character, or she's player one. It's her game.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the story goes, it's like I'm not there.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
yeah, there's a lot.
With a few exceptions. But it's interesting because the way the story is, as a single-player game, you eventually get all four of the characters.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know how that's going to work. But it's like I'm not there, with a couple of notable exceptions. One time, she's talking to somebody, and my character just makes snide comments for no reason. And the other thing, and I think this is built because you can also do it online together, is it has, like, options for what you say in conversation, kind of like Mass Effect. It looks a lot like that, actually. And I, as player two, can vote.
Oh.
Like, I can move the thing around, and I can pick one, and it'll have player two next to that so that they'll know which one I think we should say.
Huh.
But then, ultimately, she picks. I'm playing the one with all the guns. And she's playing the one that's half fire demon or whatever.
Oh, right, right.
So we're playing the chicks in this version. And it's not bad. It's simpler than some. The abilities and stuff are very sort of straightforward. Mm-hmm. Like, you only get 9 abilities through the whole thing, and it's the same no matter how you do it. And then there are certain bonuses that you can sort of pick, which theoretically individualize your play style, but not a lot. But it has stuff that I really like from these games that a lot of them haven't. Like, all equipment is character specific, so we're not fighting over anything.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is a joint bag, basically. So when we pick up equipment or money
or gold,
it doesn't matter who picks it up.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all in one place. And it's been a while since I had that, which was really annoying before. And I think it was because in the other ones, if you leveled things, you could then take that character elsewhere. In this game, you can't.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of games that in the cutscenes, only player one is visible, and even in the conversation, the conversation in the cutscene goes along as if that person's all by themselves, until maybe later.
I just find it weird here because, yeah, it's like, theoretically, my character is part of the story later on.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm already there, so I don't know how that's going to play out. But no, it's pretty fun so far. I like the game mechanic. My character just has guns. Like, literally, if somebody gets close, all I can do is switch to shorter range guns, but I don't have any actual melee weapon. But it's kind of fun.
It's kind of the spiritual successor of the Baldur's Gate and Champions of Norrath.
It's trying to
game.
Do that kind of feel, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, and the loading setup is different, so you have virtually no loading screens. It's doing this thing where it's sort of constantly loading, so that you don't ever stop when you go in a new place. So that's kind of interesting. Anyway, we have wasted a lot of time.
And I was
on
late,
some terribly uninteresting stuff.
So normal then, things are going.
Yeah, we're on path
exactly the way.
So I didn't see any movies. We are finally diving into the third season of Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Oh, okay.
Which I'm glad about. We took a big break here, but this one, sort of right off the bat, I've been enjoying. There is some weird. There's some episodes I don't like. The last episode was far and away the darkest Last Airbender episode I've ever seen. It was freaky. Was really kind of disturbingly dark, especially for it being a kid's show. But only conceptually, you know, it dealt with dark issues. It wasn't like particularly violent or anything like that.
Oh, I see.
I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't watched it, so I'll tell you off the air what it was.
Okay.
Because you've seen it all, right?
No.
Oh, really?
But I don't know if I'm going to, so.
Oh, well, then, no, but then it wouldn't really even make sense. I thought you'd seen the whole thing.
No.
How much have you seen?
I don't remember.
Oh.
Not a whole lot.
Okay. I thought you were kind of a big fan.
Well, the ones we saw I liked a lot, yeah, sure.
Then why don't you finish it?
Something happened and sort of interrupted the flow of it, and now I'd feel like I almost have to start over, and I don't want to do that, so it's, you know.
I don't know, they're pretty good on the previously on Avatar, which is hilarious, because lately they've been doing that, and they show a few different things, and I'm like, how do these things possibly come together in this episode?
And then they do.
Like, we show over here that this person is the lost son of this person, and this person doesn't like cheese. and I'm like, how is this episode going to look? Very weird sometimes.
Yes, yes, very weird.
But no movies since Ink. Have you seen Ink?
No.
Did you watch it?
No.
See Ink. They take that shit away from instant, like without warning.
I know.
So you should watch
it. Doesn't make any sense.
Also, the longer you wait, the more I'm going to talk it up, and therefore the more disappointed you will be in the actual finished product.
Yeah, probably. That's a good point.
So do it.
Yeah.
Right now. Go home. I'll finish the podcast.
All right. Who's Bejesus?
Bejesus is the name of this phone.
Oh, okay.
He's reading the phone. This one is named Bejesus. The other one, which is currently missing, is named Ed.
Okay.
You
don't know where Ed is?
Oh, no. Ed is missing.
There's no way to, like, send us a ringer? It's,
we tried, but by now Ed's batteries are worn out.
It's
a long, long story. Ed's been missing for a while, but... And it's also a long and somewhat personal story.
Okay.
But in the process of the story that I won't explain... we came up with the names Ed and Bejesus, like, to go together. And so when we got our phone, that's what we decided to name them.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, Bejesus spelled B-U-G-E-E-Z-U-S. Bejesus.
Yeah. Jesus. Zus.
Jesus.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I really feel bad for being late.
You should.
But I didn't, like, drive
late editing and
recklessly or anything on the way. Because
that's the problem. Who's it from?
Stuart.
Oh, Stuart. Welshman extraordinaire.
You can tell that he's from the UK because he says cheers at the end.
Oh, how like a Welshman.
Yeah.
Or something. He's in the process of reading the Dresden Files. I'm very pleased about that.
Dear Mr. Hat... I think he's
do,
the only one.
Do
that,
it in a Welsh accent.
I can't. I don't. I don't know. I don't know what a Welsh accent.
He does
like.
Okay. He doesn't actually have a Welsh accent. Okay. So.
But I think he's the only one that assigns a gender to the hat. Not sure how I feel about that. What are your plans for New Year's Eve? Given the world ends next year and it'll be the last New Year's Eve celebration.
Oh, geez, I didn't even think about that.
No, I didn't either.
A lot of pressure now. Did you actually have plans? I didn't, and
no,
now I feel like I really should.
Yeah, that's true, because
this
the world's
going
to end in kind of in December there, right before another New Year's Eve can happen. So...
Have you ever done a lot for New Year's Eve?
Not really. There were a couple times where... one time I went with a friend of mine to... They went to some hotel in Des Moines for a big, you know, a ball with a band and dancing and everything, and I went with him to that. And his family, see, have I ever done anything else for New Year's Eve? I don't think so. Sometimes I'll go back to Des Moines, but I mean, you know, with the weather as it is sometimes, I don't even do that anymore.
Yeah.
So
I always feel like I should do something really, like, impressive. And friends of mine and I have tried. I mean, I've been to costume parties and concerts and get-togethers where we all sat around and watched all the Planet of the Apes movies we could stand at once, which, P.S., is two. I've had ones with a lot of drinking. I've had ones I've slept through. I've had ones that we just woke up and drank sparkling apple cider just as the ball dropped. But it's never been... It's always been a disappointment. Like, I've always been like, this should be really cool, and it... Never is
well,
as cool as it feels like it should
I don't
be.
Think I've ever been disappointed. I mean, I'm trying to think. I think one time we played games all day until midnight, and we've had the whole thing where you watch lots of movies of, like...
A series or a theme
all
or
of
something.
The,
yeah.
All the Harry Potter movies or something. But the New Year's Eves that I remember probably the most are the ones when I was a kid and I was at my grandmother's house. And, you know, if I hadn't been there, staying there overnight, I don't think I would have even known it was New Year's Eve because my family didn't really celebrate it. But I'd stay with my grandmother, and if it happened to be New Year's Eve, she'd have us stay up, and we'd watch Carson, you know.
Oh, goodness.
And then we watched the ball drop later. And it wasn't a big deal just watching these things happen on television, but I remember that. Doing that a lot, and that was kind of I guess it was somewhat of a tradition for me as a kid. And ever since then, like I said, I've done all those other things, but I might not remember any of them, but I can remember when I was a kid doing that.
Yeah.
And sometimes I was there by myself. It wasn't like me and my brothers or my sister, it was just me. because, I don't know.
Grandma was out of town.
No, she was there, but because where we lived was just across the road from her, see? So, I mean, it wasn't a big trip to get to Grandma's house. And
not any river or woods to go over and through, respectively.
Quite a long lane to get up there, but...
Oh, across the lane. That's whippy.
But I don't remember. It seems like, you know, she would... Like, one of us or two of us would stay there at a time, not all of us.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't a huge thing, just sort of sitting watching the ball drop on TV after watching Johnny Carson. And...
Which is, and it's so weird to me now because I don't know why, but now that I'm older, the time zone thing really kicks in. So I'm really strongly aware that as the ball's about to drop, that it dropped an hour ago. And this is just a tape of the ball dropping that already dropped.
Well, except that I think we were watching it live, and...
So you celebrated at 11?
Well, I think what probably happened, and I didn't know this at the time, of course, because I wasn't aware of the time difference, was that it was, you know, my grandmother didn't care if she was up at midnight.
Oh, awesome!
And we thought...
Fool of the stupid children.
We thought awesome. New Year's had happened, yay, so then we go to bed at 11 o'clock. She goes to bed at 11 o'clock, and it's over. Having no clue that we're always celebrating the New Year an hour
what
before
everybody
else.
What you do is you tape last year's, and then you play it at like 7:30, and you're like, oh, look, Happy New Year. Don't look at that clock. It's broken.
So, yeah.
Here's what.
Took years before I realized
it. Do you remember how you spent New Year's from 99 to 2000?
Oh, that one?
Yeah, with Y2K and things.
Hmm. Well, let's see. I was working in Applied. I know that.
See, I was still in Grinnell working for the paper. I think that was actually the Planet of the Apes year. But what I remember that I know specifically was cited as, I was working in this newspaper, and it was Y2K, and everybody's freaked out about that. So we had the television. There was a little tiny crappy TV in the office that we had on all day to see every country's New Year's thing.
Mm.
Partially because everybody was doing a big thing because it was 2000. Mm-hmm. But partially also because we wanted to see if other countries suddenly blew up, you know, then we'd be ready. Because that was the thing about Y2K is you're set as long as you're not the first time zone.
Yeah.
And so we were watching and nobody was blowing up. And the only fallout from Y2K was I was on a really, really old computer. And in the morning, it thought it was 1985. And I told it, no, it's not. And I told it was 2000. And then it was fine.
Hmm. 1985?
I don't know either.
What happened that some people, you know, I was working for that computer software company. And yes. So naturally, and we were software support. So naturally, you know, we were going to get calls about this. And,
I heard for accounting Y2K was just a disaster because everybody was freaking out.
I guess what happened was a lot of computers thought it was 1900.
Yes.
And
which is stupid, computers, because computers weren't even around then. Why would it possibly be then? Idiot computers.
But so what did that do? Well, for people, we were supporting the accounting portion of the software, as you know. Well, all it did was, you know, make their balance sheets basically give, you know, everything for the entire life of their company or when they last started using the software. And it was pretty obvious what the problem was when people would call, and I was surprised they didn't figure it out. But then you just went in and you made a few changes, and it wasn't a big deal. But
all the cars turned back into horses.
I do remember being somewhere where we were watching that too, watching lots of people celebrated and. And so I must have been someplace that had a reasonably nice television, which wasn't where I was living at the time. So I couldn't have been home. Maybe I was with my at my brother's house that year, but I don't remember for sure. Yeah. Which means I was 100 miles away.
Oh, my goodness.
Which was foolish, wasn't it? Because if everything would have fallen apart,
yeah,
I would have had a hard time getting home.
Getting back. Showing up to work.
Well, that was dumb.
Well.
But that's what I did anyway.
Hard hats out there. Tell us how you like to celebrate New Year's, your favorite New Year's, what you're going to do this year for New Year's.
Since
it's the last one. All on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Tell us what's going on. We love to hear from you there.
And you, especially you, Stuart, let us know because
Stuart
you asked.
Frequently comments. Speaking of which, though, there was a comment on there. I do want to specify, Mark, and others, all belief and faith in the existence of a magical hat that can check its email aside. To date, no items emailed to the hat have been rejected, and they all are in the same place where we draw them out randomly. So we genuinely have no actual control or design over when things get asked. And so literally something can come out that was from episode one or something that was put in just last week. So if you send questions that have some sort of time based on them, like what did you think of that thing you talked about months ago?
Or
there's every possibility it'll come out way later.
Or even this one. I mean,
or even this
we
one, yeah.
Easily could have pulled this out
after New Year's Eve.
After New Year's
Eve. And we would have been like, fuck you, Welshy.
Oh,
let's
well.
Move on. You know, that's what we could have said. We
yeah.
wouldn't do that now. We say thank you, Welshy.
In fact, I think the odds are pretty good. Aside from the fact that we did draw it, the odds are pretty good that we wouldn't have. This close.
Yeah.
To New Year's Eve.
What are the odds? I don't know. How many questions are in there?
But
nobody
the,
knows.
But the hat does this. I mean,
the hat wants what it wants.
Yeah, it figures these things out.
I know most people think that's the heart wants what it wants. It's the hat.
The hat
wants what it wants.
Exactly. But they are absolutely random. They all go to one place, and they all come from that place, and we have no control.
No power.
None.
We are just pawns.
Slaves, really.
Yes.
To the hat.
Okay, another question.
Yeah, because now I'm depressed. The hat seems
good,
a little heavier now.
Good one.
Than it did before.
Are you saying the hat's put on weight?
Yeah, I am saying that.
Oh, my goodness. 'Tis the night of Stuart.
Really?
Or as he says in this one, stew. Okay. Now, what did you say about the previous question and what was unique about Stuart?
That he said cheers at the bottom.
No.
That he signed an agenda to the hat.
Yes, and what did it say?
Mister.
So what did the intro say there?
Dear Mr. Hat.
All right. I'm going to read you this question. It starts off, Dear Ms. Hat.
Oh, well.
Apparently he's hedging his bets.
I guess.
Cinema 3D. A ruse to get you to buy the ticket and not wait for the DVD? Or useful technological development? Yours, Stu. I'm going to go with ruse.
Well, I think we've talked about this a little bit before.
I don't like 3D. It was cute once. I went and saw one movie with the new 3D. One movie. Because we decided, what the hell, we'll do it. And so we ended up, it was Alice in Wonderland we ended up seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fine. It wasn't that exciting. But, like, I don't think I lost anything by seeing Avatar in 2D.
Oh, I do.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's about the only one. I mean, I've seen a lot of films in 3D, and the only film that I noticed a difference when I saw it in 2D, and I felt like the 3D version was... And when I saw it in 3D, I thought, wow, that was really great in 3D.
So you saw Avatar in both?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I saw Avatar in 3D, and at the time I thought, this is the only reason to make a 3D movie, this type of thing.
Blue skin kitty people.
No. I don't know if I can describe precisely what it is, but that movie was perfect for it. And then when we got it on Blu-ray, it was still fine, but, you know, there was something missing. But I've seen a lot of other films in 3D, and even at the time, thought to myself, this was pointless. There was no reason for this to be in 3D.
There's one, I was always impressed by the novelty of it, but there was only one time 3D really blew me away. I believe I was 12. I was at Disneyland, saw Captain EO.
Well,
EO actually had me reaching out and trying to
grab
stuff.
I liked the Muppets feature there's in 3D, and I liked that.
Wait, what? Which, what?
Disney World.
Oh, I... Huh?
Or not Disney World. Disney World, but the MGM, whatever.
Well, I've never been there.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
I just went to Disneyland
once when I was
12.
Sorry.
That was my Rumspringa.
Your what?
My Rumspringa.
When you were 12?
Yes. And then I had to go back to my annoying
No,
Amish
you didn't
parents.
Have to. You didn't have to.
I saw that it was...
the world is evil and
yes.
it was bad for you, so
Captain EO scared me, so I went back. How is that word, by the way, entered into the common consciousness?
Well,
like I've seen it in articles with no contextual definition whatsoever.
Really?
Yes.
I thought it was just an obscure reference that I happened to know for, you know, because
it shows up in other places. I mean, they mentioned it on The Office one time, and I've seen it in other places, but I think it's sneaking in there. And the other one that screws with me, I may have mentioned this one before, is Venn diagrams. Everybody knows what a Venn diagram is now. When did that happen?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you're taught about Venn diagrams like in first grade, aren't you?
There's a lot of shit I'm taught about in first... No, you don't... Not first grade, but I was taught in school. But there's a lot of shit I was taught about in school that I don't remember now.
Well, I remember it from school. I do.
Yeah, but you're you.
Well, then don't ask me these questions because I can't answer
them.
I'm
asking the people. People, explain to me. When did Venn diagrams just become every man's thing? And also, do we all know what Rumspringa means?
Well,
I can't hear you.
Well, yeah.
Sounds like the producer's typing.
I know what it means because I am interested in that kind of thing. So
yeah, and I've studied, you know, intentional communities and stuff like that.
Exactly.
So I did a lot. But it, like, I get the feeling like it's just a thing now.
Huh.
Anyway.
Sorry.
3D. Yeah, it's really...
I think they... I don't even think
it would be such a thing if it didn't... If it cost the same.
I think they invented 3D to show teenage Amish children so that they didn't have to leave, experiment with things and come back. They could have it all in 3D right there and they could decide, okay, come
exactly.
or go. You're going to do this or you're going to leave.
Yes.
I think that's when
the Amish have 3D?
Just for that purpose. And they don't tell anyone about it. You go into this room and technology, just for a second.
It's like the barn's coming right at me.
Look at his beard. But it's just in this one place, and it's a mysterious building, and nobody knows what it is. And then when they're 18 years old, they get to go, and then they come out. Some come out, and some go out the other end and leave the community and never come back.
There's a bus waiting. And they go to Hollywood.
So that saves a lot of time. And a lot of aggravation.
Look at his beard. So fluffy. By the way, still an awesome movie. Despicable Me is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Even after multiple viewings, that movie rocks.
And even not in 3D.
Oh, God. Was that one in 3D?
Yes,
too?
They had a 3D version of that, which was pointless, but it was still a good film. I mean, I think we saw it in 3D, but I don't remember why. We were in Fort Dodge, I think. I told you that story about the...
Of the movies that are available in 3D that you see in the theater, what percentage of them would you say you actually see in 3D?
Oh, that's hard to say because, you know, probably since I haven't been to the theater a lot lately, I'd have to go back, say, you know, a year or so.
Well, do it.
Yeah, but if I do that, just about all of them were in 3D because, you know, we were just... watching them in 3D just to see if it was any good.
Oh, now, you were having a broad statistical sample.
Kind of. See, now I probably...
But now you've decided, fuck it.
Well, it depends. But so to ask me that question, I was kind of deliberately going to 3D movies just to see if, well, the last one didn't seem so great. Or, you know, and like I said before, I don't know what it is about Avatar. I can't really tell you exactly what about that made that a good 3D movie. So I want to go to another one that I think is great and go, oh, okay, this is, in comparison, this is what did it. Because none of the other 3D movies I've seen seemed to matter that it was in 3D. I don't know if it's how it was shot.
When we saw Alice in Wonderland in 3D, we were way more into the 3D Friskies commercial that preceded it. Because that was really cool because it's like in 2D. And then the cat jumps through this window into this magical 3D world of treats and stuff. It was very cool.
Okay. Yeah, well, I don't know. So, yeah, to tell you that my answer is going to be skewed based on my experience.
Okay, what movies coming up, what movies do you intend to see in 3D in the future?
I don't
have. Are there any at this point?
No, none.
Okay.
None. Mm-mm. I don't think I'll, like, you know... I'm a big fan of Batman and the Batman film that'll come up, what, I guess in...
Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah, 2012. If there happens to be a 3D version of that, I will not see it that way. I'll just watch it the regular way.
But when they make Avatar 2, Electric Boogaloo...
Maybe. Don't know. I don't even know if I'll go to see it.
I will go see it if that's the name. That would be awesome.
Yeah, sure would.
Avatar 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Do we have time for another one, or was I
conflicted
late?
Conflicted feelings about Avatar. No, we got time.
I feel like we're going to shortchange the listener because I was
You late. Always feel that way because you're like, oh, we only got to three questions.
Well, yeah, well, this is why they listen. Anon.
Oh, this is an anonymous one. Somebody who is too chicken to put their name, or more likely, somebody who just forgot to sign their name.
I guess
we get some of those too.
If you have someone who doesn't read comics and they want advice on what to start with, what do you tell them?
Oh, I'm a good one for this.
You are? Because I'm not. I would have no
idea. I did it with you.
But I read comics already.
I know, but it still worked good.
No, it has to be someone who doesn't read them.
No, I understand. This is... I did not read... I read probably 3 comic books, like single issues, up until age 30.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Huh, that's funny.
I was with friends who had a lot of comic books, and I would talk with them about it, but I didn't actually read them.
Okay.
I read just a couple. Because they were single issues, you know, nobody had any trade paperbacks, and there's... So I know how to do this.
Okay.
Well, there's a few things here. If somebody's interested, the first thing you do is you find good, established, theoretically complete, finished series that are in trade paperbacks, and you check your local library. I was shocked to find that our local library has a ton of collected omnibus series of comics and trade paperbacks of comics, so that it's all complete right there. You don't have to go buy any issues or anything like that, and it's all in a book, you know, like a graphic novel. So if you find ones like that, that's a really good way to start.
Well, a graphic novel would probably also be a good way to start.
Absolutely, absolutely. An actual graphic novel would work too. Second thing, Sandman. I just think Sandman is the way to go.
Really?
Sandman is a way to get somebody into comics. I got way into comics, and it all started with Sandman. And also, Sandman is fucking awesome.
Okay, but don't you think that you kind of need to get an idea of what kinds of things the person likes? Because comics, even graphic novels, it's a very particular kind of medium. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's a lot of things, a lot of people are not going to get into it.
And so you do need to research. Sandman, like a lot of Vertigo titles, essentially has some fairly strong horror elements to it. If they're not going to be into that shit, you should not mess with that. And you do have to research in that case. But in general, for your street-savvy nerd who just happened to not get into comics, who's over 18, absolutely. Sandman is just fucking incredible, is what I'm saying. Now, William is right. You have to pick your genre. You have to pick what kind of stuff. Sandman is very mature in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of comics that are like that. But it's good. I would not start with something like, say, The Invisibles.
You know what?
Because that thing is fucking unintelligible.
What would be really cool is if...
But it's still awesome. Don't get me wrong. Eventually, you have to read The Invisibles because The Invisibles is also fucking awesome. But it's not a good starting point.
It would also be really cool if they... If you found out the person liked a particular novel or story that had been made into a graphic novel.
Yes, that's
a great way to do it because...
Neil Gaiman's Stardust is a good example of that. Mm-hmm. That was done as graphic novel later. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of stories that... So if they already like a certain story or novel and it's been made into a graphic novel, that's a good way to do it. Not that common, probably, though.
I also would not recommend starting with Watchmen... which is what some people do. Not because it's so dark and gritty, but as somebody who, when I was suddenly, after Sandman, I was devouring comics left and right, I grabbed that because it was so seminal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, this was such a big deal, and I read it, and I did not like it. Mm. Years later, I read it again, and I absolutely loved it. I think you have to have some background of comics under your belt, because it deals with a lot of the issues and concepts and tropes of superheroes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you really need that sort of under your belt to get the right feeling.
Right.
Because now I think Watchmen's incredible. When I first read it, I really did not like it.
Well, I think a lot of people don't realize, who don't read comics, just what's out there. A lot of people think, well, comics, what is that? Superhero comics like Superman, Batman, or the Marvel comics. But that's just a tiny part
of what's
out there for comics and graphic novels. So, and
essentially when we're talking about actual content, saying where do I get them started is like saying where do I get somebody started on reading books.
Yeah, or watching films.
Yeah, there's too much area to cover.
Yeah,
that being said, Sandman is fucking incredible. Sandman, I love. I do love The Invisibles. I recommend everybody read it, but it will mess with your head and is not a good place to start. I am also a fan of Brian K. Vaughan, who did such series as Ex Machina and Why, The Last Man. I also am in love with Mike Carey's series Lucifer, which is a spinoff from Sandman that ended up going on just as long. Mike Carey also did the graphic novelization of Neil Gaiman's book Neverwhere, which I also like and recommend. There's comic books for Firefly that bridge the gap between the series and the movie and do some stuff after the movie. So those aren't too bad, especially if you got somebody that's into those.
Well, a lot of television shows, Smallville also had a comic book series, if you're into that.
So that can be a good way, too, if there's a TV show they like and there's a comic version of it. I mean, we all know season 8 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer is a comic series of ridiculousness, from what I hear.
Now, all of that said, if they happen to like Spider-Man or Batman or Superman, I mean, just let them know that the comics are usually some really good stories in there.
Yeah.
I
always find that kind of stuff harder to find standalones, but you're pretty good at it because you've done a lot of standalone graphic novels of Batman and stuff like
that. Right, right, right. It's a lot easier than it used to be, you know.
Yeah, I always have a hard part because I'm always like, there's so much behind this. But come to find out, like now, because I was researching some stuff on Sandman recently, especially in the early volumes of Sandman, there are so many references and things pulled from places that I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I guess it's not nearly as bad as I thought it was.
Because Gaiman was working with an established property.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And he messed with that, and he tied it into a lot of existing stuff that I was not so much aware of.
Yep, that's right.
Okay, I say we wrap it up because my sinuses are getting bad again.
Okay, well, thank you, Stuart and Anon, for your submissions.
Stuart and Stu.
If you have any more,
email the hat. Do it. The hat loves when you email it. The hat is at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Go there. Email the hat. Tell it what to tell us to talk about, and we might do it if we draw it out of there. Also, go to the blog. Talk on the blog, people. Talk on the blog. It's great. You should go join in. It's fun. TheMagicalTalkingHat.com, where I'm going to post my new favoritest thing ever.
What's that?
We got something awesome.
But you're not going to say, because then they won't go and try to.
No, I am, though, because it's too cool.
Okay.
You recall how Kia B, that Kia specifically.
Yeah, that one.
Made our first meme ever.
Yeah.
Lolcat meme I put up there.
Yeah.
Well, she's gone one step further. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. No way. Really?
We have a magical talking hat Ryan Gosling meme.
We do not.
We do. I will show you. I will put it up there. It is real and it is wonderful. He's wearing his shirt, which makes me sad, but it is awesome. You have to see it. I will post it. It's really awesome. So, Kia, thank you. It's my new favoriteest thing ever.
Thank you, Kia.
So we will be posting that up there. So go to the blog and see that, and go to the blog and tell us what you thought, and give us your own thoughts on New Year's Eve and comics. Anonymous really needs some help with that. So.
Yeah, I guess so, and I hope this person didn't write it a long time ago,
or
they've been waiting the whole time. But just in time for Christmas, we're answering this question.
Exactly, exactly. So move on that. By the way, Volume 1 of The Sandman is entitled Preludes and Nocturnes. It's a very good, even standalone graphic novel, I think. So
yeah,
check
most
it out.
Most of them are actually pretty good.
Yeah. So do that. All right, and that should be it for now. So I guess we will see you next week.
Next week.
It's like the bard is coming right at me.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Ant Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.